Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat. I'm Lisa, and joining me, I have some mouse chatters. I've got Steve, Chris, and Sharpie, and we also have a special guest today. We've got Lynn Barron, and Lynn is ex-cast member, Disneyland custodial, and he co-wrote a book, Cleaning the Kingdom, and he's got a podcast, which is Sweet Spot.
Sweep, like in
sweep. I said sweep.
Did you sweep?
It's hard to say.
Sweeps. I mean, it sounds like I'm slurring. Sweep spot.
It's like a play on words.
Say that 10 times in a row.
Wow, I know. And, Steve. You know, it was funny. We were getting ready for the show, and Sharpie and I do a lot of really ridiculous puns, and we were talking about the podcast and the name, and I said, we've got to let Lynn know. We don't put up with puns around here. This is not going to work.
So can it, Lisa?
Yeah. Stop trash talking. Oh, I should have prepared. We could have done really good stuff with this Sharpie.
That would have been a better name.
Since we didn't prepare, it could be a total wipeout.
Stop.
Right now. Lost a whole bunch of people.
Yeah, we did. So yeah, I'm sorry those kind of slurred. So I will slow down. The book is Cleaning the Kingdom, and the podcast is The Sweep Spot. Yeah. It's still not easy to say.
Yeah.
So welcome. Welcome anyway. All right.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
So how did you get into Disneyland custodial? Is there like a casting center that you just went over and this was an opening, or how did the whole thing come about?
I had a friend that was already in custodial, and they suggested that I ask for custodial because you're not really pinned to one area all the time, and you get a good, you know, you could be anywhere in the park any day. And so you're not, you know, like attractions, it sounds so, I don't know, not glorious, but a lot, we used to get asked, when do you get to move up to attractions? And I'd always say, it wouldn't be a promotion to me because I don't want to stand there and go, how many, you know, and direct people. I'd rather be out and about. So we had a few cast members because custodial is one of the few departments that has cast members that have been there for so many years. I mean, the turnover rate is low. And so we had, there's a guy named Harry. He started in 1963, you know, and he would tell us stories about, you know, things, you know, back then and this and that. And we actually had him on our podcast, and he talked about his encounter with Walt. And we had a manager, his name was Ray. And so custodial department, it doesn't go back that far. So there's a guy, so try to make it simple. It was in the book, but there's a guy named Chuck. And he was hired by Walt Disney to be in charge of custodial. The next person after him was Ray, and Ray was our manager. So that's as far back as it went. And Ray was there when Walt was there, and he told us a story. We had lunch with him when I was in California. I live in Utah now, but we had lunch with him, and he was telling, I asked him, I said, so do you have any encounters with Walt? And Ray was told us about how he was up cleaning the apartment above the fire station.
Oh yeah.
And he was up there with a few guys, and they were, you know, cleaning up there to get it ready for someone. And he heard some footsteps coming up, and the next thing you know, he looked and it was Walt Disney, and he hadn't seen him in person yet. And so he was just in awe, and Walt said, are we almost done here, boys? And we're wrapping up now. He goes, all right, let's hurry up. Let's get it done. And they said, all right. And they got out of his way, and that was it. But
he had the one and only encounter with the big boss.
Exactly. I thought it was pretty neat that, I mean, we didn't have like a ton of managers. I think other departments, you could probably go back 20, 30 people in that time period. And we only had two. He's recently retired, I think a couple of years ago, but
I guess, why do you think that is? Cause for someone looking on the outside, from the outside in, I would think like that would be the job that people wouldn't want and that the turnover would be the highest, but it seems like it's, you know, those are the jobs that people have been in forever and ever, and they really enjoy it.
I think because of what I said in the beginning with the, there's so many options, so many places to work that maybe you don't get tired. I don't know the exact answer, but yeah. I'm guessing that maybe you don't get tired of it as quickly.
I've heard that it is such a desired position because of the guest interaction. You get more guest interaction than anyone, and you've got the freedom to do the guest interaction. You don't have to say, oh, I'm sorry, I have to go. Because you don't. You're part of your job, and what they expect of you is to be the guest services person, the person to give directions and help and crack a joke and, you know, whatever it is that makes it work.
Yeah, that was one of the things I enjoyed, was being able to meet people from all over the world. And like you said, being able to talk to them and not really... I mean, we had to kind of go, but we had a lot more freedom. We could talk to someone for 10, 15, you know, minutes or so and not be a huge deal. And also being so visible, we encountered like lost children, our lost, our parents looking for their lost children. Just so many different things.
It's more than sweeping. It definitely is. I've encountered a lot of the custodial cast members that are just so engaging and charming and, you know, quick-witted. It's they're fun. I think they're some of the fun people in the cast.
Yeah. We had a good time. We had, you know, we'd play pranks on each other. Cause it's not a total serious job. I mean, obviously it's supposed to be, you know, safe. It's part of the safety, but really, you know, it's just about, I mean, you're working at Disneyland. I mean, and it's supposed to be fun. And we did have fun. And sometimes we got in trouble, but but we did have fun.
Okay. So I've actually wondered, and years ago, when we first started this podcast, we did a show about if you could do one job at Disney, what would you want to do? And everyone had like, oh, I want to be, you know, this or that, like really, you know, like higher up things. And you guys might remember this, I wanted to clean the Magic Kingdom one time at night after everyone left. And I don't know why, but it just looks like it would be kind of a fun job to move, you know, those big, they're almost like buffers, but they take them out on the sidewalks and on the streets. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I don't know what they're called. What are those? Did you ever use one?
No, we were only worked there during the day. So,
okay.
So what I should say is that we were there like an hour or two before park opening.
Okay.
And then about an hour or two after. And then the night crew would come in and they would work those. They're like scrubbers. They put out water and scrub the surface. And yeah.
It looks kind of fun, I have to admit. Plus it's cooler.
It's a workout.
Steve, it's kind of lame. But it's kind of cool. Like it's cooler out. So it I don't know. It'd be kind of a fun time to work.
Yeah.
You know. All right. I have another question and it's kind of silly, but who's the biggest celebrity you ever saw in the park? Besides, you know, like a Disney person. I mean, like a Hollywood celebrity.
I didn't have many encounters for us talking to them, but I did see a lot in my passing. Michael Jackson would probably be the biggest.
Really? Now, did he just come in and kind of, you know, was he very low key or was he like in his little red outfit moonwalking down the street?
Yeah, of course he was. And then he threw his popcorn on the ground and then
pick it up. Exactly.
No, it was after park closed and we were doing our closeout, kind of, you know, just cleaning things up. And I saw a whole group of guys with like suits and some Disneyland security. And I thought, man, what's going on? They were walking super fast down Main Street. And I looked over and kind of saw through the middle and I went, oh, that's Michael Jackson. Cause you could tell the hair was kind of shiny and he had a hat on and yeah, but they kept the park open.
He had the glove
extra for him. I think for a couple hours.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I'm sure he paid for it. But.
I'm sure. I remember, a similar, not like I met him or anything, but Steve and I worked in the Magic Kingdom in Orlando. Oh. And it was once in a while that Michael Jackson would come and they would, again, after park hours, they'd keep it open for him and he would shop on Main Street. Yeah. And it was kind of cool because all he did is point to the things that he wanted and they just put it on his charge or whatever. He had an account and and he'd just walk out with, you know, everything behind him in bags. And it was amazing that he was, he had such a love for Disney and they had a, such a love for him, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
He had a lot of power.
Yeah.
He's pretty cool.
And as far as talking, I only had a few that I talked to. I was cleaning a restroom and, for the 45th anniversary of Disneyland and, Kenny Loggins had done a performance for the TV for some TV special for the 45th anniversary. And I had heard he was going to be there and I didn't, you know, I didn't see it. I was working, but I was in there wiping the sink and he came in and he said, "Hey, how's it going?" He, you know, approached me and asked me how I was doing. And I said, "Oh, just, you know, doing good, just working." And he was very nice because most people wouldn't go out of their way to say hi to a custodian like that. And, especially maybe a celebrity, but he did. And I had heard later that he was, you know, a super nice guy and real humble and stuff.
Did you figure out a way to like slip in the words danger zone? Like, hey, watch out. That floor is a danger zone.
Oh, that would have been great.
Yeah. You know, and Chris, you're so opposed to these puns.
I don't think
I totally am. But if you cannot say Kenny Loggins without me thinking danger zone.
Sharpie, you had a question?
Yeah. A lot of people associate, I have a very strong association with smells around Disney parks. Working on a different side of those smells, what are some of the most memorable smells that really kind of evoke memories when you go back into a Disney park?
Okay, you asked for it.
Oh, yay. This is the part I want to hear.
Working on Main Street, we have the horses.
Can I just tell you that I have noticed that there is a faint smell of urine on Main Street quite often.
That's the horses.
Yeah, it's bad. I mean,
you could smell it from a long ways. Yeah.
Now, why am I not smelling that in Disney World? Because they have horses there in the Magic Kingdom.
Good question. I don't know.
You need to get better buffers.
Maybe because you have the basement and it drains. Oh. No.
I think I personally think it's the humidity.
Yeah.
That plays a role in that because Disneyland is very dry.
Yeah.
So you have a lot of that evaporating off the pavement up at you.
Mm, it's not good.
Yeah.
Must be the water the horses drink. No, I don't know.
Could be.
It didn't really bother me that much. I would rather clean up after the horses than, you know, humans. So.
Sure. I think I would too.
What a horse gives you is kind of predictable, right?
Right. What they eat is pretty much, yeah. Anyways, another smell to change the subject is Pirates of Caribbean. I always love the smell inside there.
Yeah, it always has a certain smell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of a moldy.
It's musty,
Musty. I don't know. It's,
It's very distinct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's very piratey.
The thing I always wondered about. Very piratey.
Have you been smelling pirates, Sharpie? What do you do in your spare time?
Now, the thing I always wonder is like, I'm going through an attraction and I'm like looking at a ledge and there's like a Coke can or something that's been there. There's like some stuff that's been there forever. And I'm like, why do they not clean this up? Are there certain, do you guys actually go through the attractions like the dark rides and stuff when they're closed, or does the attraction people do that and kind of do some general sweep up, and then every, you know, only when they're rehabbed or refurbed, then that's when, you know, some of the harder reach places are done?
In the queue line, in the lines, we'd have someone go through. It's probably not as often as it needed to be done, but they would go through probably every few hours and sweep the line and look for that stuff you're talking about. But as far as in the actual attraction, night crew would normally do that.
Okay.
And so like unless it was something that was visible, you know, major or safety or something, then they'd close the ride and we'd go in and get it.
Okay.
Related to that, we hear this all the time. It's always a rumor that people dump their ashes, not just in the Haunted Mansion, but in the park itself. Is that true?
Yes.
Good, because I have a goal now. I'm kidding. Not really.
They close it down. You have to go in with, you know, vacuums and
get grandpa out of there.
Yeah.
How do they know?
Wow. Ouch.
They see in the cameras. They're sprinkling something out of like the side of the car.
Oh, I didn't they know pretty much know. Were that good.
Oh, yeah. No, they are.
You better watch it, Chris.
I know. Yeah. For sure. okay. Did you ever have to do that? Because that would kind of be disgusting.
Yes, but I didn't finish. I didn't. I mean, it was kind of like I had come right at the tail end of it. Like
where
when I
was
came
that?
In the Haunted Mansion.
Ooh, where do they? Where was it in the Haunted Mansion?
Listen to you.
It's interesting.
Throughout the whole thing, they started. It seemed like in the hall and like in the hallway.
So they just like as they go along.
Yeah, yeah. Like in the hallway or the Madame Leo, you know, right in the ball and right there. And then, yeah, it went on forever.
Wow. And did they just, did they, like when they got off the ride, were they like, okay, you need to talk to the, you know, we're going to have you arrested or, you know, thrown off property?
No, I think in this case it was a mother. And so I think they just told her, you're not allowed to do this and we're going to have to clean it up and dispose of it. You know,
I don't think I would have told her anything. She should have gone somewhere more subtle because I think I read somewhere a while back that somebody dumped their dad in some flower pot, like in one of the lands somewhere. That's kind of subtle.
Yeah. Yeah. Or maybe like Rivers of America or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing subtle like dumping out an entire urn of your loved one's ashes in the,
yeah,
in the public space. Yeah, yeah, that's, you know, someplace subtle, you know, like Disneyland.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's why they need to come over to the world. We've got more space on the, you know, East Coast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sharpie, what'd you have? Did you have any others?
Yeah. So one question that I had was that you guys focused quite a bit in the book on what it was like to transition from having your costume cleaned by Disney versus taking it home and cleaning it yourself. Did you notice a change in culture in the Disney organization when that happened? I know, especially we visit Walt Disney World a lot more than Disneyland. And it's always kind of alarming to me to see someone in like Western attire pumping gas on their way home from work.
Yeah, they started doing that mostly when the California Venture opened because we had way more customers. They didn't have enough lockers to accommodate everyone. So that's when they left that option open to, you know, hoping that people would take that option. But I just never felt right about it. Maybe it's because when I started there, we had our own locker and we would, you know, walk in our, we called it street clothes, whatever you had on, and then get changed and then, you know, go to work. But yeah, I didn't like that because I remember seeing there's a bus stop right outside of the area and there was someone smoking, you know, and they had on their, you know, like their Main Street store costume or something. And I don't know. I just didn't think it was right. I still don't, but.
Yeah.
I don't either.
I have to agree. Cause yeah, we worked at Disney World and you would go to like some, what was it? What do they call it? Like costuming. You go to costuming, you tell them your bag number and it was like a giant dry cleaner line. They had like five dry cleaner lines and they have them and your dry cleaning bag comes to you with your costume and it's got a card in there with all your different sizes and what, and then you go change and you put your clothes, your street clothes in the bag and you put it on the dry cleaning line. It goes in your slot. And then, you come back, you just change, you throw all your stuff in the bin and they clean it for you. And then you put your street clothes on and you just,
do they clean your street clothes while you're waiting?
No. And then, and the little bag has a lock on it so that, you know, so it locks at the top so you can put your, and it just goes back on the dry cleaning line. So there's no real locker. It's all just locked in that bag.
That is not how it happened for us.
Oh, no? What happened with you?
I'll tell you real quick because this is not really our topic. I told you, Lynn, that we'd be going off on tangents. I was in the Magic Kingdom, and so in the tunnels, they had costuming, and they had a locker room. And so you would go, you would have your dirty costume from the night before. You would bring that over to costuming. You would exchange it for a fresh one. And you would tell them your shirt size, your skirt size. You would tell them the size for each article that they needed to give you. You could get a jacket if you wanted. you know, the extra type articles.
Yeah.
But you would simply swap out every time. And then you would leave it in your locker overnight to exchange it the next day.
Oh. Yeah. See, ours are all set. So you just go up, you say bag number 304, and they would have already set it up and you would just get it.
No, that would make sense though.
Yeah, and then it's all written on that little card. And then you the next day when you come in, it's on the little card and you just go. But yeah, I can't. And it was all about the show, and you know, they cleaned it professionally and everything was there. And now it's like, you know, like everyone's saying, I see you drive around Orlando and you see it. It's always at a gas station or somewhere. These you just see.
Yeah.
We see like the monorail guy like hanging out there selling some stuff, waiting for somebody to sell some stuff on eBay or something. And he's got his stuff. And you're like, oh, it's just awful.
One time we saw one of the Liberty Tree Tavern waitresses at the grocery store.
Yeah. And it's just,
it was random.
That takes the magic away.
It's just so, and they used to be so strict, and now it's like, really, you're just walking around wherever, smoking, whatever in your costume.
And, so do you think that kind of lacks, do you think that impacted the culture of the organization? Is that something that you noticed?
I didn't really notice. I mean, because they needed more cast members, then I felt that the quality of the people they were getting was less. Because it was hard to get a job. Like if you had a job at Disneyland in the 80s, 90s, you know, it's like, wow, you work, you know, and then it seemed like they were trying to give away the jobs at California Adventure Open.
I think the same thing was kind of, at least for a time, it seemed like at World. I mean, it was very small, limited. Was very hard to get into, and then you know, you open Animal Kingdom, and then you open all the hotels, and you're just you're trying to fill all these massive places, and then it's like, okay, we just got to get people.
So, right, that's what it felt like. And as far as what, you know, the different codes that we had, like you couldn't have, I mean, they were very strict when I came in. You couldn't have a mustache. You couldn't have a beard. You couldn't have your sideburns past your earlobe. And now they allowed mustaches when I was there. And then when I left, that was the way it was. But then I guess the last few years, you can have a trimmed beard now. So.
Yeah, I don't you like can, how they but got- do you know what the weird rule is? You can't you can either have a trimmed beard or you can have a clean shaven face, but you can't have anything in between.
Oh, so you gotta go on vacation.
Exactly. That's what the guy told me, because I was talking to a guy with a beard and he was explaining the rules, and it was like, you couldn't go around with that George Michael thing going on. Like, so you had to have the full beard.
Yeah.
So, I don't like the ease of the rules for appearance. I think that was part of the charm.
Yeah.
That everyone followed these rules, and little things like your earring couldn't be bigger than a dime. If your nails were painted, they were a natural color or clear, all natural makeup, no eyeliner at all.
Do you see a lot of girls with eyeliner? I really don't.
Well, I remember there was one girl that was working the Lion King show next to us. And she wore eyeliner and broke the rules, and she had all kinds of makeup on, and she stood out.
Yeah.
But you had to have a very natural look, and it's gone. It really has gone.
Well, I think it's interesting that, like, you know, because if you're under like 25, you just think nothing of get. You know, a lot of younger kids have tattoos, right? And also get off my lawn right now. But so a lot of these younger kids have tattoos, and then of course they go to work for Disney and they have to hide them. You know, they have to cover them up. So they're still kind of, I don't think you're ever going to see them break that, you know, barrier with the tattoos.
Hope not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, every time I watch a kind of Disney cast member video on YouTube, it's usually custodial, because they're either like making artwork with like a broom out of water on the sidewalk, or that's like amazing, or they're spraying something on a window and making artwork on the window as they're cleaning it. Are these things that just cast members have done on their own, or did, you know, anybody in your department figure that out?
It wasn't really popular when we were working there. I noticed it just after, but I think it was just if you had that skill, then, you know, you kind of did it like before a parade or something.
Yeah. Which is kind of, yeah, was a fun way to interact. Lynn, do you have any crazy stories in the 10 years that like stick out?
I need a crazy story.
Like R-rated or just crazy, crazy.
Wow.
Like,
let's go there.
Lots
Give us
of those.
The dirt. What's the
most, how can I put this without seeming like the bad kid on the show? What's the worst thing you've ever seen happen?
Funny stuff. Well, there was like these kids that were running. It's kind of gross, but it's funny. They were running and it was like Fantasmic. So everything was like really dark and it was in Frontierland. And I'd run across a Code V, we call it Code V for vomit. And it was this huge, like 10 feet, you know, and long. And I was standing there
possible?
And I told the cast member, hey, go get a mop. I'll stand here, you know, watch it, make sure no one steps in it. And all of a sudden these kids are jetting through and I go, hey, no running. I'm yelling, no running.
Oh,
And one kid turned and said, stop us. And he ran, fell right in it, slipped his all covered in it. And he was crying. He was
like, how old was he?
Like 13 or something.
Wow.
And I helped him clean up and got him a new shirt and stuff. But,
Yuck.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yuck.
That's bad and yet kind of funny.
Yeah, it was kind of fun. I chuckled, but
yeah, stop us. Okay.
Now I have the most popular story I could tell you.
Okay. Yes, please.
It's a ghost story. Do you guys like those?
Awesome. A little bit.
Bring it on.
I'm not saying I believe or not, but I'll just tell you what happened and then you guys can decide, but I'm pretty convinced on it. So if you're not familiar with Disneyland, there's the hub and then there's, well, it's the same as Walt Disney World. There's a hub and then there's Tomorrowland. It's off to the right. There's a restroom called the Plaza Inn and then the Astro Orbiter, which is like the rockets, you know, is right there at the entrance. The park had closed. It was during the weekday, so it closed early, but the park had been closed for maybe like 2 hours and I was heading to the office to go home and no one was around. They announced on our radios, because we carried radios, the park's clear to town square, and I was pretty far from there. And these two women came up and approached me. One was like a teenager and the other was like a mother, probably her mom. And they approached me. They had like Victorian outfits on and they, the mom talked to me, the woman, in an English accent. And
oh my God, I'm totally freaking out right now.
Yeah, said, excuse me, sir, you know, we were trying to find a place to dine and food. And I said, the park's been closed for about 2 hours. I don't know how you're still in here. I said, you need to exit. And the girl was holding a balloon that I hadn't seen at Disneyland in a long time. It was just like a blue balloon with a stamp that said Disneyland on it. It wasn't anything fancy. And I remember those like in the 80s, but probably older than that. And so I said, you guys need to exit, you know, down Main Street. And I pointed down there and they said, oh, we're so terribly sorry. You know, they're very polite the way they spoke. It was definitely not, you know, from this time era. They started to head maybe 10 feet away from me. And I looked over and saw a security officer coming from the Matterhorn. And I said, hey, you know, and I yelled, I said, and I said, these guests, I don't know what happened. I looked and pointed and they were gone. I said, whoa. I said, he said, I'll check in the back here. You go up Main Street. So we did. We ended in Town Square and he said, I didn't see anyone. And I told him, I said, well, I'd talk to him. I don't know what happened. So, and all the shops were closed, all the doors were locked and everything. So I kind of forgot about it. I thought, well, whatever. Maybe I was tired. I don't know what. So about 6 months later, I was talking to another cast member in Custodio. And she was telling me, now remember I said it was by the Plaza Inn restroom. So she was telling me, this cast member was saying that we were talking about ghosts and things. And I said, oh, and she said, well, I have a story. And she told me in the Plaza Inn restroom, when I walk in, I always hear two women, like a younger girl and a mother, talking in English accents. And then when I look around in the restroom, there's no one there. And then I like was turning white, you know, and they said, "What's wrong?" And I told her the story. And she goes, "You talk to him? No way. I've always heard those voices, but you actually talk to him." And I said, I guess so. Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's my story.
You completely ruined that park for me. Thank you. I will never go into that bathroom. I can guarantee it.
You are so going in there.
No, I am so easily spooked. I don't even like to drive by graveyards at night. And I do get scared of the Haunted Mansion by myself alone. But it's like a fun scared. But yeah, I think you just ruined it for me. Thanks.
Oh, sorry.
Awesome.
I love it.
Yeah. So that's what happened. But I've heard other things too, but that was the only thing that happened.
Oh, no, you don't. No, no, no. Come on, one more and then we'll wrap up the show and that'll be it.
No, I'm not going to tell any more ghost stories. I don't have any more.
Okay.
I could tell you what other people told me, but that's, you know.
That's all hearsay.
Person.
One story to wrap it up. What's going to be funny? Or spooky?
Funny. Funny's good. Spooky, not so good.
I don't really have a story. I don't really have
trashy a trashy is always good.
Well, like grad nights, you know, what happened. And you get, the Haunted Mansion, had, like I mentioned, has all the cameras in there. And so I would always go up to where they have the cast members for the attractions. It was kind of near where our locker area was for New Orleans Square. And so we'd go down there and look at the cameras and, you know, the cast members get on the mic, "Hey, keep your hands to yourself" and stuff. Well, there was a girl and a guy, teenagers in a car, and the girl was not visible but in the car with the guy, if you know what I mean. And when they got off the ride, the cast members in the Haunted Mansion said, "Oh, come here," and told me to come here. So she said, when these two get off the car from, you know, so they got out of the car and everyone started applauding the two teenagers instead of busting them. I think that was probably a better, I mean, they ran out of there. The girl was bright red and they probably learned their lesson, but.
Oh, that's pretty too funny.
Well, probably, you know, kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Kids are going to get up to shenanigans.
Mm-hmm.
Good for them.
Yeah. So you can read more about our adventures, and Ken has a whole nother, you know, set of stories and things that happen too, but you could read more in the book about it.
I think that would be a good follow-up show. Maybe we can get him and you back on and hear a little bit from him.
Yeah.
So why don't you real quick, because I apparently can't pronounce things properly, go ahead and let us know where people can read more or hear more about your experiences.
Well, you can read our book called Cleaning the Kingdom, and the best place to get it is at our website, thesweepspot.com. That's sweep, like you're sweeping the floor, and spot.com. And you can get autographed copies there. I have, I'll send those. I will personally send them out. So if you want a little note like to Joe or whatever, and I can put that in there too, if you want. But that's the best place to get it. Or if you're a Kindle reader, it's on Kindle. And so then the podcast is called The Sweep Spot. Like I said, Sweep Spot. And we've been doing it for about 5 years, and it's Ken and I. So we're both the authors of the book, and we also the co-hosts of the show. And we have interviews with like Disney legends. We've had Tony Baxter on, Rolly Krunt, Bob Gurr, you know. And then we've had also former custodians on our show that talk about their stories. And then we talk about history. We'll pick like an attraction like Space Mountain, and then we'll talk about working around that attraction, custodial, and the history of the attraction, because I love talking about history at Disneyland. So that's what the show's basically about. And you can get that on iTunes or anywhere where you find your podcasts.
Okay, great.
All the dirt on Disney custodial.
Stop.
All right. So I'm going to wrap up the show here. I would like to thank Pixie Vacations for sponsoring the podcast. If you have comments or questions for us, please send those to us at comments@mousechat.net. If you enjoy listening to the shows, you can find more of these over at iTunes or at mousechat.net. Thanks so much for listening. And thanks once again to Lynn. And please join us next time on Mouse Chat.